Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And this is a story that you may have heard, but we're going to use this as the launching point today. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and they couldn't cast it out, but they tried, but they couldn't do it. Couldn't do it." Verse 19, he answered him, said, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you, and how long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." This is Jesus talking. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell down to the ground and wallowed and foamed at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He said, "From childhood. He has often thrown himself into the fire and into the water to destroy him, and if you can do anything." I love that. If you can do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. Notice he said us. If you can help us. Jesus said to him, "If you believe, all things are possible to him that believe." I love this next verse. This is so powerful because this is where so many of us are. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. He broke. He snapped. He lost it. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. I'm just being real. Just being honest. If you came today and today getting here was a struggle, this is a message for you. If this was a week that you wish you could erase, this is a message for you. Some of you, it's not been a week, it's been a month, maybe this year. You're going through something and you put on just a great smiley face, but in honesty, you're going through it. And you're going, "I don't even know if God can help, but I'm here just for today. I'm here just for the moment." I'm so glad that you are here. Because God wants to speak to your heart. And just being really realistic today, and just we're just going to drop all facades and all the pretends and let God speak to your heart. As we've been talking about how to get there, how to get to the life that God has for us. And the amazing thing is we plan these messages long time in advance, and God knows exactly what kind of week you were going to have. And he wants to speak to your heart today. And so just be open and let God speak. And as we begin, can we just lift up a hand and ask God to speak to our hearts and just be open to hear what God would have to say to us today. Lord, you're so good. Your word is so clear. And we just want you to speak to us. You know exactly what's going on. You know every situation. You know every problem that walked through the door. You know everything that happened this week. You know what was going on this morning. You know what last night looked like. You know all the struggles. You know all the doubts. You know all the stuff that we're wrestling with. You know that we're trying to put on a smiling face, but you know what's going on behind that. And God, you just want to speak and give us hope. You want to make a change in us today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And before you are seated, we're just going to be real honest today. Can you turn to somebody and just tell them this? I'm struggling. Just tell them, "I'm struggling." Be honest. "I'm struggling." And you can be seated. Be honest. Okay. Hey, we're so glad that you're here. If you're new or new to this church, we're messed up. We just say that right off the bat. If you're looking for the perfect church, when you find it, please let us know. Because we're just broken, messed up people, and we're just trying to find what God has for us. And so, again, if you were looking for a church that doesn't make mistakes, you are in the wrong place. If you're looking for perfect people, again, you are in the wrong place. We are just trying to be honest and be open to what God has for us. Now, there's a phrase that you may have heard, and I've heard it mostly in church, and it's this. It's this phrase right here. Just don't claim it. Don't claim it. How many have ever heard that? Okay, don't claim it. You know, I mean, somebody comes up and says, you know, I've there's this cold, and I've got a stuffy nose, and I'm coughing, and I'm hacking, and I have a temperature of 106, you know, and I'm sweating, and, you know, I've got, you know, I've got, you know, penicillin just growing on my skin because I'm just so full of bacteria, but I'm not going to claim it. Not going to claim it, of which, you know, any sane person goes, well, it has claimed you, you know, I mean, right? We say this, and I know the intention is that we say that because what we really mean is I'm not going to let, you know, this thing that is going to affect my spirit or affect my attitude or outlook, but it's dangerous because we get into this habit of just trying to ignore what is obvious. And it may not be a cold, it may be a situation that you're going through, you know, and, you know, I got fired from my job, but I'm not going to claim it. I'm like, you're just going to go back Monday morning? You know, how's that work? You know, I'm wrestling with something physically, but I'm not going to claim it. It's like, what is with that? Because the danger is that we say this and we get this assumption that if I ignore it, or if I don't claim it, then I don't have to deal with it. And again, we go through this and we hear this so much in church because it's like, well, problems shouldn't happen to Christians. Not a single amen. Good, that's right. That's right. How many have ever had a problem? How many have had a problem this week? Right? How many have a problem this morning? Okay. How many are having a problem right next? You know, how many of your problem is sitting next to you? No. Don't raise your hand. No. But this idea that if I face a bad situation or if I face a problem, somehow my not claiming it is a statement of faith. That if I don't say, well, I'm not going to claim it, somehow that makes me more Christian or more faithful. It's like I can't be a Christian and have bad things happen. And so we say this thing, this don't claim it. The other thing that we don't say, but we do is don't admit it. Don't admit it. You're struggling with something? Oh, for goodness sake, don't tell anybody. I mean, this is why we invented the unspoken prayer request, right? I mean, come on, right? You got a problem? Don't tell anybody. I mean, unspoken. You know, we say, who has a prayer request? You know, maybe one person will raise their hand. Who is an unspoken? Oh, yeah. I'm not going to tell anybody about that. So we don't admit it. We don't admit that we're going through something. We don't admit that we're struggling. And again, this idea goes deeper because it's this sense that it's a weakness, and weakness isn't what we want to portray. It's something that we're struggling with, and so if we don't admit it, then we don't have to deal with it. And we get to a point that if I don't admit it, then I don't have to work on it. And if I don't admit it, then I don't have to deal with it. If I'm not honest with my struggles, then I don't have to worry about them. And I can go and live this fake, happy life where everything is wonderful. Except when reality hits. Because the truth is that the struggles are real. The truth is the weaknesses are real. And we get to a point where we fear even more than the struggle or even more than the weakness, that we fear being real or transparent in it to those around us and even to God. And I think part of it is kind of the aspect of what church has become. Because we believe that church is a place where good people go, right? I mean, church is for good people. Church is for people who have it together. Church is the people who, you know, don't struggle. Church is for people who, you know, don't have problems. And that those people pray for all those that do. We've come to believe that. I mean, and the times that we do struggle, as a church, so often we give just really weird advice. Hey, I'm struggling with something. And you know what we hear so often? Well, you just need more faith. How many have ever been told that they just need more faith? Anybody? Yeah. You just need a mustard seed faith. You just need more faith. And we're going, great, where do I get that? I mean, this is faith church. You got a faith store someplace so I can get some more? Where do I get that? What does that look like? How do you get more faith? What do you do? How do you have more faith? Because I mean, we have songs, you know, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Just, you don't need a whole lot, just use what you got. It's like, what if I don't have any? I mean, I need more because obviously it's not working. And so we hear advice like that. Well, you just need more faith. And so I've got more faith now, okay? I'm still struggling. I'm still worried about things. I'm still going through things. And then we go through this life and we put on this fake face like everything is okay. And everything is all right because we want to look good. We want to look holy. I mean, at a minimum, we want to look like we're okay. I mean, none of us want to be that example, right? Oh, there's that guy. No. We don't want that. We don't want to be looked down on because we think that if we're honest, if we're open, that if we claim it, oh, God forbid we claim it, or if we admit it, then somehow we've fallen short of what God expects us to be, and we're going to get kicked out of church. And we'll get kicked out of God's presence because, whoa, you're not perfect. Oh, you mean you're real? And we go through life with this. And the thing is we feel that that's what would happen. And just being honest, okay, because here's what I do know, that all of us have that tendency in us. Because if I were to pass the mic around, and just, I'm not going to, all right? But if I would, and you would be honest, and I know that you wouldn't, and you would say, okay, here's what I'm struggling with, and we would go through the thing that as people began to tell what they are struggling with, you'd be going, whoa, oh my goodness. I can't believe they're struggling with that. Until the mic came to you, wouldn't it? Then it's like, well, hang on. Well, this is my story. The truth is that every one of us here are struggling with something. Every one of us here have issues in our life. Every one of us here are going through something. So just stop pretending. So just, again, turn to somebody sitting next to you and tell them, I am messed up, all right? Just tell them, I am messed up, okay? And it just to make it even, and then you can tell them, right? So after they say that, and then tell them, and so are you, all right? And so, I mean, we did. You came into service today, and you or came into church, and maybe somebody shook your hand and said, "How you doing?" And you go, "Great!" And then you felt guilty because you just lied, right? Because we put on this face. We try to ignore it. We try to bury it. And the thing of it is, it doesn't go away. How many know that you can't ignore their problem? Ignoring your problems is not a good solution for a problem, right? I mean, it's like this. You know this in the natural world, that if you have a leaky faucet or you go downstairs and you have water, you know, squirting out of one of the pipes, you just go, well, I'm going to act like it's not there. And then you come home later and it's all fixed, isn't it, right? No, you have a swimming pool in your basement. The same thing is true in life, but yet somehow we think, if I don't admit this, if I just try to ignore this problem, if I ignore this hurt, if I ignore this struggle in my life, then it's somehow going to get better. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The weakness is still there. The doubt is still there. The struggles are still there. And we go on and we begin and we continue to live this lie that if I don't claim it, then I don't have to deal with it. And if I don't admit it, then that I don't have to work through it. And we just put on our best face and we come to God and we pray prayers like everything is okay. We go through the motions like everything is okay. And the beautiful thing is this. God is trying to reach you to where you're really at. God isn't scared off by your problems. God isn't scared off by your doubt. God isn't scared off by your struggles. God knows exactly who you are and He loves you for where you're at. And God's call just says, hey, come to me as you are. But I'm struggling. Yeah. I don't even know if I believe in you. That's okay. You see, in this passage that we read, this father really had an opportunity to look good in front of Jesus. I mean, he had a great opportunity. He brings his son. And his son is going through all of this these trials and struggles and just this horrible, horrible life. And he's standing right in front of Jesus. And he could have just stopped and said, I believe, and forgot the other part. I believe. I mean, I'm standing in front of Jesus. I mean, how important is it that I put on a good face so that he knows, you know, Jesus, I have a need and I believe you can do it. Here's my son. I'm 100% confident. Look at all the faith that I have. I mean, come on, Jesus. You've got to respond to that kind of faith, right? I believe. And he could have stopped there. He stayed in front of Jesus. He was also in front of a group of people that were following Jesus and had a reputation of being very judgmental. He was standing in front of people that when they saw sinners, they would comment. You know, they would ooh and ah when people would repent. I mean, he was at a place where it had been very easy to present his case and to present his need and then just stand with all of this faith and ignore the reality of what was going on. And just said, hey, I believe. Nothing going on here. No doubt going on here. No struggles going on here. And heard the amens from the crowd. All right, way to go. Here's a believer. Here's a man full of faith. But I love verse 24. Put this up here because in this single passage, we see the reality of life. This father has just presented his need to Jesus and held it together. He says, here's my son. I don't know what's wrong with him. He's got problems. He's got issues. We don't even know what to call it. We don't know what it is. He falls down. He throws himself into the fire. I gotta dig him out. He tries to drown himself. He goes catatonic. He has seizures. He just we don't know what to do. And he presents this case and he presents this history and he brings him to Jesus and says, if you can do anything. Not just him, but me, because I'm carrying this burden too. And he tells the story and he keeps it together. And Jesus says, okay, do you believe? Here's the opportunity. And I love this. And immediately the father cried out these two words with tears. He broke. He lost it. It all came hitting home. Yeah, I believe. But there's more to that. See, here is a father who is desperately in love in a tragic situation. I mean, any of us with kids, I mean, we know what that's like, you know, that new little baby. High hopes. You know, I mean, ask anybody bringing a baby home from the hospital, and they are sure that this little bundle of joy is going to be the next president or an astronaut or, the next Bill Gates or, you know, because just, oh my goodness, I mean, so proud, so much expectation. Holding that little guy. And any father, and we see here that this wasn't just an off father. This is somebody. When he tells his story, he has been involved in this child's life from the beginning. There is so much love here. You see, this is the guy that you look at him and say, yeah, see this burn mark? See this? Yeah, that's what I had to pull him out of the fire there. That was a close call. I thought we lost him, but I dove in, and yeah, it hurt for a while, but I had to rescue my son. Yeah, you see this gash here? Yeah, see, we were walking, and he just dove in, and I had to dive in, and the rocks were bad, and I think I broke it, and it didn't heal right, but see, I had to save my son. There is this love and compassion. You see a father here that you know tried every situation because he said, look, I've taken him to your disciples. And what we see here, what we assume here is that this was part of a long line of a desperate, loving father trying to find a solution for any help along the way. Because I've looked for everything and I haven't found an answer yet. I've prayed. I've had others pray. I've asked. I've had others ask. And you know what? My hopes have been dashed again and again and again and again. And in that moment, he was just being real. I have faith. but I'm struggling too. See, I have faith, but I have doubts too. And in honesty, what we see is a father who's saying just this. He says, I have faith enough just to bring him here. I can't even see past that. My faith extends to just this moment. I'm not even sure. My faith was just enough for us to pack up this morning and say, we're going to give it one more shot. For me to take my boy, who I love, who I've been there for, who I bear the scars of my love, and just carry him with me or take him with me. And we have faith just to show up here. And I don't even know if you can help. That's what he says, if you can do anything. Part of me doesn't even know if you can heal him. But standing here is the extent of my faith. And that's as real as it gets. That I've got faith just enough for right now. It's important to see what Jesus doesn't do. What we don't see Jesus doing is like, unbelief is sinful, you wicked father. We don't see Jesus saying, well, you just need more faith. You have some, but you don't have enough. Just need a little bit more. Mm-mm. You see, as a father says, I have faith for just right now. And Jesus' response is so beautiful because it's where we're at. I've got faith enough for right now. And Jesus' response is, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. You see, this aspect of when the scripture talks about a mustard seed faith, there's really more going on than that. It's more than just the size, but it's that symbol of just a seed that I don't understand how this could grow. I don't understand how it works, but you know what? I've got faith enough just to put it in the ground and leave it. Because I can't take it from there. I don't understand it from there. And God says, if you just got that. You see, I'm talking to people today that if we can move past the fake and we can move to a place to being honest, that we would say the exact same thing that this father says. That I'm dealing with something, that I'm struggling with something, that I'm wrestling with something. And I've tried all kinds of things, and my hopes have been dashed, and I've been told I just need more faith, or I just need this, or just that. And it's like, I can't see past that. And I'm here today, and that's the extent of all I've got. That I can't see how this is going to work out. I can't see how this is going to turn out. I've tried living in denial, and that didn't work. And I've tried living like everything was okay, and that didn't work. But I still don't even see how God can work it out. And I'm just here today. And God says, that's enough. That's enough. Because here's the thing. Great faith is not faith to see it all through. Great faith isn't complete trusting that, oh, it's just going to all work out. Because there are times when that just doesn't happen. There are times when we are wrestling. Great faith says this, all I have faith to do is just one step. One step. I've got faith to just come to an altar. I've got faith to just ask God one more time. I've got faith to just say, okay, God, here's what I can just do next breath, next day, next moment. And God, in his power and his love, isn't condemning. Isn't judging. But what he says is, that's enough. That's enough. Just do that one thing. You see, I love this verse in Micah 7:8. It says, you may know this, it says, don't rejoice over me, my enemy. And I love what he uses here. He doesn't say if, does he? What's the word? When. When I fall. You see, there's something in us that thinks when we come to Christ that we're never going to fall again. We're never going to struggle again, where we have to be perfect. That's not the case. Somewhere along the line, we've got this idea that the walk with Christ is measured by the word perfection. I've just got to do it right now. I've got to do everything right. I've got to do it all the right way. I've got to do everything perfect. Because after all, I mean, if God is in control of my life, then it's all going to work out. And that's not the case. But it is. It's the reality is, it's when I fall, what's it say? I will rise. Sometimes the only faith that we've got is just enough to get up. Just enough to get. I can't even think about moving forward. I just have enough to get up. And what God says, that's enough. That's enough. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. That when I fall, when life gets too much for me, when I'm at a place where I get knocked down, faith enough just to get up, just to stand up. That's all I need, because God says that's all that's required. You see, it isn't measured by perfection, okay? The Christian life is just measured with this word, persistence. I'm going to get knocked down, but you know what? I'm just going to get back up again. You know what? I'm going to face struggles, but you know what? I'm just going to get back up again. I'm going to have hard days, but you know what? I'm just going to wake up again in the morning. I'm just going to take that one step. Okay, God, I'm just going to pray this one last time. I'm just going to got faith enough to trust you one last time. I don't see how it's all going to work out, but you know what? I'm just going to come into your presence. I don't even know if you can solve this, but I'm going to bring my problem to you, because that's the extent of all I've got. And God says, that's enough. That's enough. And we read in this passage of how God miraculously heals this child, heals this family, just because he came in doubt. He doubted as he came. If you can. But he came. And if we just have faith enough to just say, okay, God, just going to come into your presence. I don't even know if you can do this, but I'm here. God says, that's enough. And we find what we've been looking for. We find the strength to move on. We find the hope that we need to move on. We can't see the end. We had a missionary here through I think about 2 years ago, and they were building a building, and I loved this guy's spirit, because he says they got the land, and that was awesome. They raised money for the land, and they had no clue how they were going to build. Then they built a floor, and so then they had no clue what they were going to do next. They just had faith enough to do what was next. And they came to us, and we had just put a new roof on, and we supplied the funds to put the roof on their building. And he says, awesome, we have a roof. I have no idea how we're going to get the walls, windows, and doors, but thank God we have faith for the roof. And sometimes that's how life is. I made it through today. Thank you, God. I have no clue about tomorrow. I made it through that phone call. I have no clue how I'm going to make it through the rest of the day. I made it through this situation, but the mountains are really going to start getting steep. I have no clue. And God says, hey, just come into my presence. Just faith enough to come into my presence, because I'm the one that makes the difference. Hebrews 12:2 says it this way. It says, this is what we look to. Looking to Jesus, the author, and what's the word? The finisher. You see, oftentimes we believe that Christ is the author of our faith. It's something that he begins in us, and then we take responsibility for wrapping it up. You aren't that strong. You can't do that. You don't have it. But we look to Jesus and say, okay, God, you started it. You've got to finish it. If I have faith enough just to come into your presence, I know you have what I need. See, I don't know what your problem is today. I don't know what the situation that you're facing today. I don't know what this week was like, or last night was like, or this month was like. But here's what I do know. If you have faith enough just to come into his presence, okay, God, here I am. God, I don't even know what to do next, but here I am. God says, that's enough. And let God speak. Let God guide. Let God give you the direction and the strength that you need. This is where you can find your answer. So oftentimes we look into our own self and we say, I've got to figure it out. I've just got to try harder. I've just got to work more. I've just got to bring it together more. Or we try to live in denial, not gonna admit it, not gonna claim it. That's not it. But Jesus is saying this: if you just bring your problem, bring your struggle into my presence to me and say, God, there's a part of me that really wants to believe. But in all honesty, there's a part that I don't even know if this is doing any good. What we find that is a God that says, yeah, I know. But watch what I can do. Watch what I can do when you just come into my presence. You're going to have problems. You're going to have struggles. There's going to be seasons in your life where there's doubt. There's going to be seasons in your life where you don't understand what God is doing or if there is even a God. Here's the thing. That's okay. That's okay. That's life. If you have faith enough to say, God, I'm here, and that's the extent. Watch what God can do, because that's all the faith that you need. Okay, God, just what's next? I've got faith enough to come to an altar one more time. I've got faith enough to call upon your name one more time. I've got faith enough to just say, can you help me one more time? And watch what God does. Don't deny it. Don't run from it. Don't pretend that you're not struggling. Don't try to come into the presence of God other than anything that you are. God, here's my problem. God, here's the breaking in me. Here's what I don't know what to do. Here's how I've tried to fix it. But God, I'm here. Can you help me? And watch what God does. Watch what God does. God says, I can complete it all. You may say today, I believe, but I'm struggling. You got faith enough to come to an altar? I believe, but I'm struggling. Do you got faith enough to call upon God this morning? I believe, but God, you know what I'm going through. Do you got faith enough to bring your problem into his presence this morning and watch what he can do? And what you find is this: there's a God that doesn't condemn. There's a God that doesn't come down on you or say, well, you just need, he says, all you need is me. All you need is me. And there are people here that I know that you've gone through this and you know this to be true. That you've come to God and said, I don't know what to do next, and found the hope that you needed, found the strength that you needed. And this is the way that God works. Not looking for perfection. Not looking for all your efforts, but just a willingness to come and say, God, here I am. I need you. I need you. God is wanting to do something great in somebody's life this morning. If you just trust him for that one step. In just a moment, we're going to have a time when we can pray. And God is wanting to do something in your life. God's wanting to complete something in your life. But do you have faith enough just to trust him for one next? I know you don't know how it's going to work out. I know that you may come up and say, God, I'm here, but I don't even know if this is even real. But God, I'm here, and I'm going to try this. I'm going to take a step of faith today. We talked about that last week. There's an element of risk involved here. God, if you're real, I need you. God, if you're there, I need to know. And watch how God responds every single time when we come into his presence. Can we stand?